There's no one like you. After God made you, Brad, he said, I'll never do that again. That's how unique. Well, it's good to be here with you. Last time that I was here was after a break of about 18 months. I'd been coming fairly regularly and had had a break from coming this way. I think you were dealing with some things, and so it just didn't sort of fit into my schedule. But you've always been in my heart, and so when I came last time, you know, actually the last time, I had 4 weeks in the U.S. So I went from here to L.A. Not to L.A. Sorry, Vacaville, California, and then into Wyoming. And do you realize actually, my trip here was the highlight of my trip. So just letting you know that. Hey, I'd like to do something just now. I'd like to pray something over you. It was something that Paul prayed, and it's in a new translation called the Passion Translation. And I'd like you to receive it this morning, not just as me reading something out of some scripture, but actually declaring something over you and give you the opportunity to receive it for you. Yeah, is that okay? All right. So here we go. I pray that He would pour out over you the unlimited riches of His glory and favor until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with His divine might and explosive power. Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. Then, as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and exclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He'll outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that rises from every church and generation through Jesus Christ, and all will yet be manifest through time and eternity. Amen. Isn't that great? It's just wonderfully put together. I was sitting at breakfast this morning, and I was just talking about this morning and just saying, you know, I really felt like I didn't have anything. And then I came into that wonderful worship time and I feel like I've got too much. You have some people here who can teach and preach and bring lots of great things to you. So my role isn't to come and to teach you something more. My role in coming here is to release some things that the Father wants to say and to speak to you from an apostolic fathering place. You know, about, you know, who you are and what you're meant to step into and to share some things. So it's really a bit more like a chat with you this morning. Is that all right? One of the things that the Lord was talking to me about this is that Agathos is not a stereotype church. Right? It's different. Have you worked that out? This means yes. Maybe this is my Australian bluntness, but, where I come from, if somebody asks you a question, it's polite to answer. Just saying. Oh dear. So Agathos is a prototype church. Now, a prototype church is not a stereotype. A stereotype is just simply reproduced, copying, what's previously been to us. And that's not the case. This church has a high level of influences, a high level of leaders throughout the throughout the church. Many of you are leaders of different influence. Some are leaders of leaders, and some are leaders. Many of you, the proportion is quite unusual than many of the churches that I go into. It's really quite strong. And so some of the things that you'll do is that you will be you'll be pioneers of things. You're like forerunners. Have that forerunner spirit where you actually do some things when you don't hear too many other people are doing it. But you start to do some things, and there's a lot more for you to step into. It is actually not accurate to call him pastor. Right? He's the senior leader of a group of leaders. A pastor generally denotes that it's the man who's in charge of the church, who spends most of his time running around looking after everybody else and doing things that people should be able to do themselves. It's a common view. What was that? Yeah, this man, I'm part of my Australian bluntness. I'm Australian, so I'm sorry. I try and sanitize it as much as I can. Americanize it. Oh dear. It's probably a good thing I'm having a plane out tomorrow. No, seriously, because his role is a senior leader. He's the senior leader of a group of leaders who are advancing the kingdom of God, who are going after things, who want to see the kingdom come, who want to see things changed, who are fed up with seeing too much hell on earth, and a group of people who want to see heaven on earth. Yeah? I mean, in the right place? So you actually would limit him if you called him pastor, because the concept of pastor is that he just sort of corrals everybody and keeps them all safe and shepherds them, and that's not his gifting. His gifting is actually to release people. His gifting is actually send people out. It's like, hey, go chase some people down. Right? Go and see them come to Christ. Come see them come into place. And part of, what's been happening with this church over a period of time is that there's been some things that the Lord has used, hasn't necessarily been the author of them. But one of the things that Brad's been doing is building foundation. And I feel that he's really built a solid foundation. He's stabilized things and built things really, really solidly. I don't want you to hear me in any way, shape or form saying that what went previously wasn't good. It was in its time. It was as it should be. But now you're in a different day. Right? And the Lord spoke to me on Friday night and said it's time for you to launch. It's time for you to launch, right? It's not time to maintain a sit back watch. It's a time to launch. There's some things that'll launch. I really am absolutely convinced that you are going to see some miraculous things take place. That this is going to be like Miracle Central. And I don't mean here in the building, I mean this group of people. I think you're going to see a lot of miraculous things happen on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon. More so than in here. I'm sure you will see them, but I just see a line of people lined up here waiting to give testimony of some outrageous, miraculous things that would take place. That's the sort of season that I really sense you going into. Brian, hello. How almost every time, I don't know why, I go to call you Brian Mango Shake. It's just like, I've been in the Philippines for too long, I think that's the case. But I saw this word over you this morning, and the word was promotion. And I really feel like you're going to have some creative management things, and I don't think it's just in your workplace, but I think in lots of areas you're going to see over a period of time these sudden promotions. It's good. Now, you two, I asked you a question a little while ago, and it was for a reason. In some countries, they call sports shoes, trainers. Yeah? I don't think they do that here, is that right? Cross trainers. Or a lot of places, just any sports shoes, they call them trainers. Well, I saw you two sitting in a trainer each, in a shoe each. It's a big shoe. And I was saying, Lord, what's this? And the Lord said that you two are called as trainers. Trainers who train. And you're trainers who train trainers. So that those people train trainers. So those people train trainers. So that you have this trainer. You have this training anointing. It's an instructional anointing. It's about equipping people to be able to live a lifestyle that's supernatural. And part of the reason that you can do it is because you already do it. It's not something that you've learned that's just theory. You already do it. Our training, the trainers. It's good, isn't it? After I was here last time, I went to Vacaville. And, I went to, particularly had come for a conference by Bobby Connor. Have you heard of Bobby Connor? He's a seer prophet. He's an amazing guy. He would prophesy and he'd say, "That's right, yeah, that's right. This is a good word, yeah." Thank you, Jesus. What's your name? Mikey. Hi, Mikey. How are you? Yeah, good. You have tremendous compassion inside of you. And it's a compassion that I see in the shape of a key. And it's a key that unlocks people, unlocks them out of places of bondage, unlocks them out of places of discouragement, unlocks them part of their past, out of their past, and brings them into their future. And you have quite an anointing just to start conversations with people that help people come out of the regrets of the past and to come into their future. Yeah, really, it's a big key. You have a big key. It's a big key. You're most fulfilled when you're seeing people get set free. Okay? And it's not just waiting for somebody else to do it, but you have the anointing of God to do it now. You don't have to wait until you have some sort of degree or some sort of training. You're on the job training. Lord's teaching you, but it comes out of a motivation of not wanting people to stay where they are. Great compassion. Guy sitting next to you, Avery. How are you? You are too. Yeah, you're one of the leaders of leaders. Okay, you're one of the leaders of leaders. And the Lord's placed you in this group of people for a reason. Because this is where you'll thrive. Okay, this is where you'll thrive. You can go to other places and you'll strive to flourish, even though it looks like that's a place where you would flourish. But you'll thrive here because of the environment, because of the anointing, and because of the empowering nature of here. But you're a leader of leaders. You're an influencer of leaders, other leaders. Ho. Anyway, I was saying something. Anybody here suffer from headaches, constant headaches, particularly headaches that sort of are right behind the eyes? Did someone say yes? If you do, constant headaches. Would you stand up if you do? Can you just stand? Okay. Can the rest of you just go and lay hands on some of these people here? I'm just going to pray over them. Father, we declare right now, in the name of Jesus, that health is our inheritance. And health is the inheritance of each of these people. And so we speak to the headaches, whatever the cause, whether they're migraines, we break the cycle of them. Father, we destroy their ability to be able to keep coming back and keep oppressing those people, keep shutting down things. It's no longer that can happen. I speak health to you, and we lay hands on you right now, and we impart to you health. We impart to you wholeness. We impart to you now release, and break off migraines, break off headaches, cycles where they keep coming right now in Jesus' name. So we release right now our peace in your head and in your mind and around your brain and all those areas right now. A peace, and a peace that just doesn't go away, a peace that remains, a peace that stays, a healing that remains right now. It goes right to the core of it and breaks that off. And I break off any unbelief, and I release faith, and I release healing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. True. Yeah. Yeah. It'd be great. Just bear with me just for a moment. All right. Have you ever looked at a set of circumstances and you've interpreted those circumstances because of what you've seen or what you understood the circumstances, only to find out you were wrong? Has that happened to anybody else? Yeah? All right, well, interesting enough, when I was growing up, we have Scottish heritage way back, and my parents wanted me to play the bagpipes. So I learnt to play the bagpipes. I didn't really like it, but I did, and the neighbours certainly didn't like it. So I learnt to play the bagpipes. Well, a story about a guy who was a bagpiper, and he played lots of particular gigs, you know, lots of performances, and he was asked by a funeral director to play at a graveside service for a homeless man. He had no family, no friends. So the service was going to be at a pauper cemetery, somewhere in the sort of the Kentucky background, backcountry. So this guy was not familiar with the backwoods, and so he got lost. And apparently, being a man, he didn't ask for directions. So he finally arrived an hour late and saw the funeral guide gone, and the hearse was nowhere in sight. And there were only the diggers and the crew left, and they were eating lunch. He really felt bad. He apologized to the men for being late. He went to the side of the grave. He looked down. The vault lid was already in place. He didn't know what else to do. So he got out his bagpipes and started to play. The workers put down their lunches and began to gather around. He said he played out his heart for this homeless guy. Everything that was in him, he played for this man with no family and friends. He played like he'd never played before for this homeless man. And as he played Amazing Grace, the workers began to weep. They wept and he wept. They all wept. When he'd finished, he packed up his bagpipes and started for the car. His head was hung a little low. Sorry for this guy who didn't have any family and friends. But his heart was full. And as he opened the door to his car, he heard one of the workers say, I've never seen anything like this before. And I've been putting in septic tanks for 20 years. You know it's quite okay to laugh in church, don't you? Yeah? Because it would be crazy for us to talk about joy and not experience it. Yeah? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Just imagine that. God is looking back across the earth over his family, but he's looking particularly for something. And he's looking for those whose heart are loyal, or other versions say are committed to him. God is looking for a people. He's looking for a people who will do what he says. It's 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord are looking backwards and forwards. They're looking for a people who are fully committed. A people who are serious about the task at hand. Serious about being who God has called him to be. You know what is regret? Regret is your history trying to affect your future. No regrets. Have I done some things that I regret? Yeah. Have I missed some opportunities? Yeah. Have I got some things that I'd like to do differently? Yes. But my history is not going to affect my future. I will learn from it and move on. The enemy always attacks destiny and calling. He wants to try and show that God has lied about your future. That is a lie, just as he did in the Garden of Eden, where he came up to Eden and said, "Did God really say you couldn't eat of all these trees?" No, he didn't. "Well, you know, if we eat of this, then we'll die." No, he didn't. "You won't die if you eat of that tree." You know, he's always questioning, did God really say to that? I can guarantee that, you know, if you get a prophetic word or got something today from God, God spoke to you, the next voice you would hear would be a voice of questioning whether that really was God. You know, did somebody tell him something? You know, did the leaders, they fill him in on some things, you know? And so he's just, you know, no, they haven't. Okay, but the questioning will come because the enemy's always out to try. And it really amazes me because, you know, some places I'll prophesy some things such as, you know, you've got a real healing gift on your life. And that person begins to find all around about them, including their own life, sickness comes. Which is a confirmation of the word. It's confirming, but what happens is some people say, so much for that so-called prophet guy, because the opposites happen. Of course. Because the enemy wants to oppose the word of God. He wants to convince us that God's a liar and that he tells the truth. See, our assignment, the assignment that you and I have been given, is to bring heaven to earth. We are not just here to wait to go to heaven. We're not just here waiting, taking up some time, enjoying things on earth here, but hoping and waiting for us to be in heaven. See, once you die and go into eternity, there were some things that you won't get to do, that you only get to do on earth. Guy, when I left here last time, Bobby Connor, he was talking about this very thing, and he was saying, if we are just to wait until we die to experience heaven, if we are just waiting here marking time, then if that's the case, then God would only have two ministry gifts, the gift of evangelist and the gift of assassin. Come to Christ, go to heaven. If that's all there is. But it's not. Because we are preparing for eternity now. Okay, and we're helping other people experience eternity now, heaven on earth. And the church has just not understood this. That's why hell has had such a free reign, because for centuries people have been just hanging on till they die to go to be in heaven, to experience the kingdom. I remember years ago when I was exploring this whole thing, the kingdom, because you see, I'm fascinated with the kingdom of heaven. You will not hear a sermon from me that doesn't have some of this included in it, because I'm fascinated with it. I'm fascinated with heaven on earth. That would make a good title for a book. And I've written a book with that title. And I've left them this morning at Brad's place. You can see how used to I am selling books. But he'll have them next week if you would like to get a copy. Fascinated. I'm fascinated with the kingdom. I'm fascinated with heaven. And so for the church, for lots and lots of years, has just put up with life on earth, because the by and by is coming and we're going to experience heaven ourselves. Well, one, it's selfish. Gee, that went quiet. And two, it's not correct. That's why hell has had such a free reign. Do you know that in the past years, and years and years ago, that have you heard of the Seven Mountains? The Seven Mountains is some teaching that was given to Lauren Cunningham, Francis Schaeffer, Bill Bright, and some of these guys, you know, years and years ago, and they were given at about the same time. Another guy called Lance Wallnau began to understand, and so other people have understood that there are certain areas of society that are mountains or pillars or spheres of influence that exist in every society, no matter how developed or undeveloped. And church is one of them, business is another, media, communications, government, politics, education, arts and entertainment. I don't know, it's probably something else I've missed, but these things exist in every area of society. And at one stage, the church was the leader in every one of those areas. At one stage. And then it began to withdraw back and withdraw from that, and it put up with an increase of hell on earth. Because it gave up ground. Now we're in a place of taking things back. Okay, and we're probably in a better place. I can remember people years ago when I first was examining and understanding this, people would say to me, "You're not one of those Kingdom Now people." I was like, "Am I?" You know, it was like, you know, a disease or something, you know. You know, are you a heretic and believing that the kingdom would come now? Well, now, just about everybody's understanding that. That the kingdom is meant to come now. That we're meant to heavenize earth. That we're meant to chase hell, because hell is chaseable. It's really scared of you. And heaven is receivable on earth. See, the kingdom of heaven is not about personalities. We've tended to make it about personalities, but it's not. It's about available persons. It's about available people. If you're available, God will use you. It's a good word, Mike. I'm just encouraging myself in the Lord. Well, that's what David did. So, see, the promises of heaven are not achieved. You don't achieve the promises of heaven. You receive the promises of heaven. Okay, and achieving them rests on our ability and our skill, while receiving them rests on our faith and trust. See, we have to learn to receive. We don't. You know, it's about positioning yourself to receive. Now, receiving really means about taking hold of. It's not standing here waiting for it to fall from heaven. It is a position. It is a place where we put ourselves as I'm receiving. But it's more about taking hold of. And there are two words about receiving. One of them has receiving something that's offered to you. So if I went and had a handful of peanuts or something and I offered them to you, would you like some? Yeah. You don't eat peanuts, huh? Well, find something else that if I offered you something else, I'm offering it, and so you are taking and receiving from me. Okay? Now, the other thing would be if they were here sitting on a table and you just got up while I'm speaking and came down and got them. But both of those are active words. Both of them are words of action. They're not passive. Like, I'm here waiting for something. No, I am laying hold of what is mine and being able to take. That's what receiving is talking about. So we've been trained much of our life to see things from earth's perspective. So we look from where we live towards our heaven. So we see events from the position of how we can solve them from our own abilities. It's from a natural place. We can look at people from a judgmental position. Because we've been taught by facts. We've been taught very much from a factual place, failing to understand that there is a higher realm than facts, and it's called truth. Now, of course, facts exist. Facts exist. They are real, but there's a higher reality. See, the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Not the facts. The truth is what will set you free. And so often what happens is that lies dress themselves up and clothe themselves with facts to get you to swallow them and to believe it. A sugar-coated pill. But the Bible says that I am seated in heavenly places. Is it right? Hello?
Yes.
I am seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I am meant to see things from heaven to earth. Yeah? I'm seated there. We're seated there now. We're not waiting to die to be seated there. I am seated there right now. The will of the Father is that what exists in heaven is meant to operate on earth. That's what he taught us. He said, my will is that what happens in heaven should happen on earth. So we become filled with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. We've been filled with heaven. We're carriers of heaven. We are being transformed from glory to glory. Yeah? The battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenly places. Ephesians 6:12. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, for pulling down, they're mighty for pulling down stronghold. Now, what does that mean? What's a carnal weapon? So it's something that looks like something. So if I had a machine gun here, would that be a weapon? Yeah? How come? How do you know? Because you recognize it as a weapon. You've seen it somewhere. You've seen it in movies, or you've seen that. Or if I had a sword, if I had some, you know, you would recognize, ha, that's a weapon. That's what it means, is something that's recognized as a weapon. But our weapons are not recognizable as weapons. They don't look like a weapon. So love's a weapon. Joy's a weapon. Peace is a weapon. Rest is a weapon. All of these sorts of things are weapons against the spiritual onslaught that comes. When you operate in the opposite spirit, it is a weapon. You're a weapon. Good. I was just waiting for that. So surely you and I are meant to see things through different lenses than we see it. So we should see things through the lens of love. We should see things from a position of victory. We don't try. We're not trying to gain victory. Victory was won. It was won. Jesus died and rose again. He was victorious over sin and death. He's won it. We're not trying to do it, but we are imposing it. We are bringing it into place. Okay, research has shown that some surveys that have been done, that there are a number of things that people are afraid of. Number 10 is thunder and lightning. Number 9, dogs. I don't understand that. I mean, number 8, mice. How could something so little be so scary? Number 7, enclosed spaces, you know, claustrophobia. Number 6, spiders and insects. And all the ladies said, oh, is that politically incorrect? Number five is flying. I've seen some scared people on planes. I feel sorry for them. There's nowhere to go. Number four is snakes. Number three is going to the dentist. I was preaching just somewhere recently and I said that, and this man really shot up in his chair, like really indignant. He was a dentist. Number two, heights. No, number one? No. Public speaking. That is the number one thing that most people say they are afraid of, is speaking in public. So fear is F-E-A-R, false evidence appearing real. Fear stands for false evidence appearing real. See, fear is faith in the devil. Fear is believing that what you cannot see will happen. Fear is believing that what you cannot see will happen. So fear, once again, is believing that what you cannot see will happen, will take place. It's amazing, isn't it? Faith is believing that what you cannot see will happen. One is negative, another is positive. So fear is a negative place. It's the thing that I'm believing for, that this is going to happen and it's going to hurt me, or it's going to humiliate me, it's going to shame me, so forth like that. So it's one is negative, the other is positive. Now what I want to do is just take a few moments to help you to realize the difference between the facts and the truth. Facts are real, but truth comes from a superior or higher realm. Truth is more real than facts. See, most of us look for the facts and then the facts become the truth of the situation. So many people say to me, yeah, all that stuff is interesting, but what about the facts? The facts are the important things. The things we can add up and get 1 plus 1 plus 1 equals 3, I think. You know, it's the facts are the important thing. The facts are this. Yes, you can pray for me, but this is what the doctor said. These are the facts. You know what? I have witnessed this quite a few times, that somebody can be quite okay and they go to the doctor and the doctor does all these tests and find out they have a sickness or cancer, and suddenly that person just goes downhill. Why? Because they receive these set of facts that they've now come under. Now I want you to hear me today. I am not discounting the facts. I'm not one of the people who want to deny the facts. I'm aware of the facts, but there's a higher realm. There's something more superior than the facts, and it's called the truth. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So truth is a person. So it's about what does Jesus have to say? Because he is from a superior realm. He's from a higher realm. So these are the facts, but what does Jesus have to say? Because I know the truth will set me free. You know, in Ephesians it says that we're to speak the truth to one another in love. Most Christians think it's going and telling something to somebody else what they need to hear, giving them a piece of their mind and then saying to them, and I love you. Oh, I want to tell you this in love. Do, 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 do. And they think that's what that scripture means. No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is that you speak what Jesus would say to those people. You don't just go and give them an excuse for you just to vomit it all over them and say whatever you feel like saying and then just say, well, I love you. So we're to speak the truth in love. Facts are temporary. Truth is eternal. The facts will pass. You shouldn't let the facts get in the way of a good story. The good story is the truth. The facts will tend to cause you to focus on the problem while truth wants to take you into the solution. Facts have a tendency to encourage hopelessness, despair, defeated attitude. Facts have the power that you give them. Truth wants to take you into hope, wants to take you into solution, wants to take you into thanksgiving and faith. Truth recognizes the facts but calls you into a superior realm. Facts exist, but truth is at a higher realm. Truth is a superior view of the facts with answers attached. Quick couple of stories before we finish. Jesus had been out ministering all day. He comes into a deserted place or a place in which the disciples are hoping that he's going to be able to, they're going to have something to eat and just have some rest and so forth. But the people follow them there, and so he begins to teach them. And so there's 5,000 men plus women and children, so probably about 20,000 people. After teaching them for quite some time, the disciples go to him and say to him, send them away so that they may go into the surrounding areas and get some food because they're hungry. And we're hungry too. And Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. And the disciples immediately are tallying up how many people, immediately trying to work out, should we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat? Where would they get it from? Walmart is closed. And Jesus says, oh, haven't you guys learned anything yet? Okay, well, let me take you a little step by step. How many loaves do you have? So they go looking for something, and finally they find someone, you know, maybe a little boy with five loaves, two fishes, a little boy's lunch, and takes it. Now this is one of the things that I want to see when I get, when I'm in eternity, I want to see this DVD. Because this astounds me when every time I think about it, that these guys, these 12 men, who have a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish, because that's five loaves, little barley loaves probably, and a couple of fish. And they were probably sardines or small fish. They were not a couple of whales. Right? And so they take a little bit. And I could imagine, if it was me, I'd be looking at what's in my hand and looking at the people and saying, this is not going to take very long. And then they gave it to the person, miraculously, either, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what happened. That's why I want to watch the DVD. But it's magnified in their hands. It's become more in their hands. And then they had more back again to give. And give. And there's 12 basketfuls. They started off with five loaves, two fish, seven pieces of food. And they ended up with 12 basketfuls left. And I don't think that they were just, because they were abundant. They were big basketfuls that were left over. That's my thinking. Because God's abundant. But here's the facts. 20,000 men and women. No food. Then five loaves and two fishes. And Jesus was crazy enough to believe that his Father shall supply all of their need according to the riches in heaven. And so he took it and he gave thanks. Let me tell you that when you actually step into thanksgiving, things start to happen. When you give thanks for what you have, more shall be given to you. Right? There's a higher realm. There's a higher place. We can become absolutely, those disciples were a little bit, they wanted to just get the people out, send them out, tell them to go and fend for themselves. Jesus said, no, I want to show a miracle that's going to be talked about for years and years, including Sunday morning at Columbus, at Agathos.
I want those people to hear that story, that testimony of what can happen and what can take place. And so here they are, the facts declared something. Jesus said, I'm in tune to a higher realm. I'm in tune to the heaven's provision. And heaven is abundant. It's not just enough. And so what happens is that we come under the facts and we'll let the facts determine how we'll feel, how we'll believe for, how we'll confess, what we'll talk about, where we will spend, how we'll give, all of those sorts of things. So we come under this place of the facts and we let the facts sit on top of us rather than saying, hey, hi facts, how are you? Good. Ah, now truth, you're the one who's setting my view on things. Sickness comes and sickness does. I don't believe in saying I'm not sick when I am. You know, I don't deny it. I'm saying I'm sick. I'm not feeling, you know, all that very well. However, but my God has said, this is what he said, by my stripes, Jesus said, you shall be healed. I am the God who heals you. So I'm taking hold of that. That's what inspires me. That's what actually, and I begin to see, hey, I'm made for health. I'm made for health. I'm not made for sickness. So the facts are just an indication of what's going on. It's not the answer. The answer's the truth. And that's why you need to understand what the Word of God has to say about every circumstances. Not only what his written word is, but what his rhema word is and what his prophetic word is. What does God have to say? And that's where you should be, in a place where you can see the facts and say, Father, these are the facts, but what does heaven have to say? Because we are being challenged to change the way they're thinking. I was thinking about this in the worship time, I don't know why. You know, like about 18 months ago, I lost quite a bit of weight. The problem with losing the weight is that I also found it. Again. And I was reflecting on quite a few times, why is it that I lose the weight and then put it back on again? Because I've not changed the way I think about food. I've not changed the way that I think about food being a comfort for me and certain types of food. I've not changed my thinking about the food, and so therefore I'm eating the wrong sort of food at the wrong times and all of those sorts of things, and I'm just putting it back on again. So I have to change the way that I think about food, and I really feel like that's happening. You won't change any behavior until you change the way you think. When Jesus began his ministry, I talk about this all the time. When he began his ministry, he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Listen, repent is not about somebody coming down the front and giving their heart to Jesus Christ because they've changed the way that they want to get forgiven. They want to receive Christ. That's wonderful. That is the best thing that could happen. But that's the fruit of repentance. Right, those things happen because of a change of thinking that has. You will not change behavior until you change the way you think. We've been programmed to believe a lot of things. So the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. There are so many things that God's got for many of you in here to see. Innovative things. Things that don't exist on earth. Revelation and understanding. And I'd like to pray for you now. I think I've done this before, but I want to do it again. I want to pray for you again. I want to pray for your eyes and your ears and your heart. So would you like me, can you let me do that now? Father, thank you for our eyes and our ability to see. Father, that's an incredible thing that you made, eyes, and how we see in such detail, see in such ways. But Lord, you've also given us the eyes of our heart. And Paul said that he wished that they were wanted them to be enlightened so that we would see. We want to see beyond the facts. We want to see the truth. Father, we want to see into a realm, into a place, Father God, that's absolutely amazing. And Father, we want to see things that are in heaven that are waiting to come to earth. We want to see those things. Father God, we want to understand those things. We want to see things that you just dream for us to see. We want to hear things, Father God, sounds. We want to hear, Father God, the things that you have longed to speak to us. We want to ask you today to tune in our receivers to be able to hear you in a fresh and new way, because we understand that you're speaking more than we're listening. And so, Father, we would pray, we would ask for tune in, tune our ears in, that we might be able to hear you even more clearly than what we do even now. We'd hear those things that have got our name on for us to hear, or us to see, or us to understand. I pray for the hearts of every person in here, that we will understand, we'll be understanders. Father God, we'll go from this place today, and burning within our minds and our thinking will be, Father God, the facts versus the truth. And there'll be a declaration that I'm going to be a person who's a pursuer of the truth, no matter what the facts say, that a strength will come, that an ability will be able to come, to be able to see even more revelation, to understand even more clarity, to understand even more how it is to live practically in the truth. And knowing the truth is setting you free of mindsets and things that we've learned over a period of time. So Father, right now, over every person here, over this place, I want to declare a new season. I want to declare a new season. I want to declare a new season over this people and over this community. Over this church, a new season. And I declare that the prototype that God has established for you, that you will slip into it, that you will stand into it, and that you will operate in it in a way that absolutely astounds those that are round about you. For the Father says to you, I love to use a remnant of people. I love to use what some people would say are foolish to confound those people that are wise. I love to demonstrate my greatness. I love to demonstrate who I am amongst a group of people whose hearts are committed to me. I look backwards and forwards across the continents, across the country, across the world, looking for those people whose hearts are committed to me, so that I may strengthen them, so that I may pour myself into them, so that I may bring forth a people who will declare my new ways and my new days, says the Lord. So Father, we thank you for such a time as this that we live in, that we move in. It's a time, Father God, where lots of things are happening and taking place that amaze us, that disappoint us. But it's also a time of great grace. It's also a time of the blessings of heaven being unveiled, Father, in Jesus, in His name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, as always, it's rich, Mark. Just love the depth that you have in you. A lot of revelation knowledge there. It just came flowing out. I hope you caught a lot, if not all of it. Let's bless our brother right now This is how the kingdom of God operates. The word of God says, let him who is taught the word, let him who is taught the word share with him in all good things. Share with that one that teaches in all good things. This is how the kingdom of God operates. This is an opportunity we have to honor our brother just by blessing him financially. He comes here of his own expense to minister to people. And so if you would, let's just take up an offering, an honorarium for him, and bless him for his coming here and blessing us. Father, we thank you so much for the gifting that is in Mark, that you have sent this gift to us to bless us. And now, Father, we in turn want to bless him. And we ask you for your hand of blessing on us, Father, as we sow seeds into the kingdom to further your work, Father, that we receive from heaven your anointing on our seed, Father, that it would return to us 100-fold, that we would continue to prosper in the kingdom and furthering your kingdom work here in the earth, Father God. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you for it, Lord. Amen. If you guys will go ahead. Oh, yeah, good. If you're writing a check, just make it out to Agathos, which is A-G-A-T-H-O-S. Agathos Ministries. Maybe you could put that up there if you haven't already. And then we will just write one check to him. Yeah, it's not very good at this. We don't do this very often. But yes, should I sing and dance for a minute? Give people a chance to... Yeah, that's good. If for those of you maybe who need a little more time, just go ahead and take it when the basket comes by. Don't worry about it. And then Don and Brian will just wait in the back for a minute to receive any other checks that there might be. Where's Derek? Derek, if you would, or Aaron. If anyone has any particular prayer needs that you would like prayer over, I'd like to invite you to come forward, and we'd like to pray over you. Other than that, Peter, do you have anything? Oh, Kenton, okay. All right. Well, thank you again, Mark. Thank you all for coming here. If you would like to stay for a minute, we'll just worship the Lord here for a second. Otherwise, God bless you. We'll see you here next week. Have a beautiful week.